This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
12 on the shot clock.
First and 10. Another big run. There he goes. He's got
baby, oh baby, oh baby. Jim Nantz on a call for CBS Sports and the Niners, who were eliminated before kickoff from playoff contention. They lose to Miami. A-Chan goes for 100 yards, first 100-yard game of the season. And we know how they did it with the Brock Purdy interception. Brock Purdy, despite the interception, threw for 313. I'm sure we're going to get a lot into Brock, a lot into the turnovers. Where was Nick Bosa? The Niners lose. If there was a loss, as we say good morning to everybody out there, trust me, we're going to recap the Doobie Awards because I'm still trying to recover from that bad boy. Friday at Laughing Mug Brewing. What a show. What a scene that was. And congrats to all the Doobie Award winners, including Tony, who won Roaster of the Year. If there's a game that could tell the story of the 2024 49ers, that was the game yesterday. That was the perfect game to describe the 2024 season of the 49ers, Shasky. Good morning
Which
to you.
Which part? All of it?
And that's sort of everything. Like, that was the perfect game. The penalties, the turnover,
the penalties,
the missed field goal,
Debo finally played well.
The special team gaffes. Debo did play well.
Great.
You know what? I commend Debo. He played with heart, played with energy. Didn't have to. But that game right there, missed tackles, injuries. I mean, Drake Greenlaw went down to the fourth play of the game, and I kept thinking to myself, I saw enough from Drake Greenlaw in the first half against the Rams to not see him again for the rest of the season. Now we got knee tightness. We got a calf. We got everything. Aaron Banks gets hurt. D. Winters got hurt. I mean, guys are dropping like fives. Shasky, that game in its totality was the perfect, perfect description of the 49ers 2024 season.
The kicker? I mean, geez, Luis. So you want to talk about one of the worst draft picks. I mean, this kicker is just, he's terrible. Like, there's no one in the Bay Area can listen to me without nodding their head. The kicker's terrible. He's terrible.
You know,
he's terrible.
Poor guy. I can't defend him.
And then Debo, you're bringing up Debo. Debo had three chunk plays called back because of penalties. Ricky Pearsall, almost consecutive, I think it was like two straight plays. Illegal formations that wipe away big games. They're going to be on like the five with a Debo play on third down that actually Brock made a nice play on. And then we get to the quarterback. And look, man, I know you and I have argued and we've been at each other's throats over like the money and not having the money. I'm telling you this right now, and I mean this with all my heart. Is the season on Brock? Absolutely not. Was the game on Brock? Absolutely not. It's bigger than that. Protection up front has been spotty at best. At best.
It was awful yesterday.
Bonte, you could tell me Brock Purdy is playing for free next year. And I'm telling you, that's great. That's awesome. I want him to come in at some point and wear a 49er uniform. But I also have to draft a quarterback or I have to bring someone else in. Like, that is where I'm at on this. Like, I have more questions than answers with Brock Purdy. Has he deserved a pay raise? Sure, absolutely. And I know that we'll get into the money and we've got 6 months or however long until he gets his money. I am telling you right now, Joe Shasky, and I'm putting my name on it. If God is my witness, if they don't bring in a quarterback, it doesn't even have to be to compete for the start, to push him at minimum, push him. They've got to. I've got so many questions about the quarterback. He has played spectacular. And then this year, if I just take this year, he has left a lot to be desired. And they had the ball with under 2 minutes to go. It's the 2-minute warning. And all you have to do is go down. I couldn't believe Miami said, you know what? We're kicking a field goal. We don't think you're going to get six. Because I'm thinking, if they're playing in the division with Josh Allen, they got to go for that fourth down maybe. You know, like, there's no way you give him the ball, you know, only needing 6 points to take the lead. And they said, we don't think Brock Purdy can go the distance. And then he just throws a ball that he has no, you don't need to throw. You have all three timeouts. You're at the 50-yard line, essentially. You've got all the time in the world. It's just an unnecessary play. And yes, the protection up front was terrible, but he's got to be better than that. And I feel like more times than not, he's had the ball with opportunities to drive this team down and win. And for a variety of circumstances, he's come up short.
He has come up short this year. He has come up short, but they're, as you mentioned, and look, the 49ers are probably going to bring in a quarterback. They're not going to bring in, I highly doubt they're going to bring back Brandon Allen and Josh Dobbs.
No, they cannot.
So that, to your point about bringing in another quarterback, I think that's a foregone conclusion. But are you going to bring in another quarterback to start? That's the juicier question. Are you bringing in a quarterback to replace Brock Purdy? I'm not. And I hear all the numbers and all the records since the Baltimore game and this and that, blah, 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 blah. I look at the roster right now. This offensive line is a mess.
No question.
This offensive line is a mess. There's not going to be many quarterbacks who are going to be able to function behind an offensive line like this, but you're asking them to with the money they're getting paid. And a lot of quarterbacks are getting paid this type of money who can't function behind an offensive line like this. I thought Brock Purdy made some great plays yesterday. I felt like I had a quarterback saying, you know what? If I go into next year, Brock Purdy, I'm good with as a starting quarterback with the 49ers. I'm really good with it. And the money's going to be the money. You can structure the contract in a way where you're front-loaded, you make it team-friendly, or Brock gets his money, and you have all type of opt-out clauses. They'll get creative with the contract. I truly believe that. But Brock Purdy yesterday, when I'm watching him, and yeah, the pick was bad. He got hit while he threw it. He tried to make a layer throw. Not the smartest decision in the world, but I thought Brock played very inspired football yesterday. I thought he played excellent football for the most part. So when I walked out of that game, my biggest takeaway, Shasky, wasn't the quarterback. Obviously, we're going to talk a lot about him after throwing the pick, and there is something to him not being able to rally in the fourth quarter and lead game-winning drives.
But I
look at right tackle, center, left guard, and I said, how the hell can you roll back with that?
Well, those
you have to roll. You have to bring back. And if you, and like I see a text right here, Kirk Cousins to the rescue.
No.
Well, you put Kirk Cousins behind this offensive line.
Can't move.
You're not throwing for 313 yards.
Yeah.
So Brock Purdy's escapability and his scrambling ability actually helps you in behind an offensive line like this. You have to do that. And then the miscues, the penalties, they've got to do something about this. It's just too much laundry on the field.
11, and there were more that were unaccepted. It was just, it's so bad. Special teams, another false start on a punt. I mean, it's just, it's a variety of issues every single week. The reason why I'm hyper-focused on Purdy, and I just, again, this is just my belief. Look, I thought he had moments where he played okay. And then they get down into the red zone, and they've got an opportunity to score a touchdown right before the end of half. And he's super predictable, staring down George Kittle, and everybody knows he's a little smaller, and boom, ball gets tipped at the line. That should have been a touchdown. You could see the frustration with Kyle Shanahan. And the thing that he hung his hat on for like a year and a half, decision-making, accuracy. And both of those have been spotty at best this year. And that's why I'm so, like, I think he is a huge question mark. Health is a question mark. I think his confidence is a question mark.
Yeah, I think his confidence is fine.
I saw a confident quarterback yesterday.
I
don't know, man.
I saw a confident quarterback yesterday. Look, not to cut you off, but I think his confidence is back. I thought he made good decisions yesterday. But I also know that, look, man, this is, you know what I got yesterday? You know the vibes I got? And the season didn't go the same way, but I got 1991 San Francisco 49er vibes yesterday, where things just did not go. Now, that team won 10 games. They ended up going 10-6, and they lost a tiebreaker for the NSUS championship. But they had a, like, what did they have, like a five-game winning streak to end the season? They were not good that year. They had the Hail Mary, Billy Joe Tolliver, I believe his name was, back with the Atlanta Falcons when he threw the Hail Mary at Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. That season just went awry. Just not a lot of things went well. And they missed the playoffs that season. And it was kind of an exception to the rule with those 49ers. That's the type of vibe I got yesterday where I was just like, they're going to find a way to lose this game.
Oh,
I felt like that in the second quarter.
But isn't that, like, to me, that's also, I mean, like, again, it's yes, the offensive line, there's no question that's an element. And I don't diminish how important it is to have a great offensive line.
Fesky, they're rolling out.
They had to want Jenny George, Kim, right. And Debo Samuel cooking in the same game.
They also have Patrick Taylor Jr. playing running back for you. 8 carries, 24 yards. So what? You need a threat back there.
You had the ball with 2 minutes to go.
You're not running the ball well. You're heading off to your fourth running back of the season. Patrick Taylor Jr.'s running back yesterday.
Bonte, everyone's got issues.
The teams with issues are not going to the playoffs.
When I ask this guy to rise to the occasion, I think that he's come up kind of meager. There's a handful of games where he's risen to the occasion. Second half, the first L.A. Ram game, I thought he was really good. And outside of that, it's like he's had multiple fourth quarter opportunities to do something, to be a swashbuckler and lead this team down, and he's failed to do so. And you talked about like how they've been snake bit all year. Last year, if they had that exact same game, I am convinced they're winning it. They're finding a way to win. And
you know
I'm
why?
With you. I felt the same way. I had zero confidence that they were going to win that game. Zero.
Yeah, I'm not as outraged because I understand the circumstances right now. You guys can call me carried. You guys can call me soft, whatever it is. That team is so damn depleted. The fact that they went out there and gave it a try and didn't get blown out, I was like, you know what? You play with spirit and effort. I know we're asking pros to do that who are getting paid millions of dollars. But I actually walked away from that game saying, I'm okay with Brock Purdy being my quarterback in 2025. I'm totally fine with that. I'm totally fine with that because I do believe the offensive line will be improved next season. Do I have facts about that? No, I do not. I'm assuming that it will be better. It can't be worse.
It can't be worse than
what I'm watching here. The receiving core hopefully will be better. Ricky Pearsall has got to figure it out. You can't line up wrong twice. I mean, that's unacceptable. And it's been a lost year. And it's a lost year for Ricky Pearsall. And that's a draft pick we're going to talk about for a long, long time. Jake Moody missing a kick. I can't defend him no more. I can't defend that. I can't.
Shanahan looks so livid on the sideline multiple times. And then Ricky Pearsall, who's the position coach that was yelling at him?
Oh, Leonard Hankerson.
Kane's legend.
Would you say Kane's legend?
I can't remember
the last time I saw a position coach on the Niners chew someone out like that on the sidelines.
No, absolutely. He deserved it. He deserved it. You have to make that kick. So all the momentum goes out the window there. You don't score at the end. You know, and then we'll look at these two picks at the end of the third round. Jake Moody and Cameron Latu. Were your third round picks at the end of the third round, 99 and 101.
Is Latu even in the NFL?
No, not even in the NFL.
I mean, he was a blocking tight end that... What was it, Alabama?
Georgia? Yeah. I mean, Alabama.
Thank you.
Alabama. Duane Jones, offensive line, 111 with the Cleveland Browns. It would have been great. When I think about offensive line, I'm like, damn, you kind of need some offensive linemen here. So, anyway, the Jake Moody pick is not going well. The Cameron Latu pick is not going well. The offensive line is getting beat up. Drake Greenlaw, calf, four plays got shut down. Leonard Floyd gets hurt. So, and to me, it was just 888-957-9570. Shasky's outraged. I'm not. Because it felt like just that's the way this season. If I had to just tell the story that 2024 season, I'm popping the tape from yesterday and saying, watch this game.
So your point is well taken in the sense of like, look, it's a snake bitten year. But part of how I judge people in life is like, hey, if you face some adversity, how do you react?
Right.
Do you stand up to adversity? And I just feel like more times than not this year, the quarterbacks look meager. And I thought yesterday was a straight up water pistol fight. It was not a shotgun fight. It was definitely not a knife fight. It was a water pistol fight.
No, I thought he drove the ball.
And Brock Purdy.
I thought Brock drove.
Everything was at the line of scrimmage.
I thought he had some good throws down the field, man. And George Kittle and Debo.
There was a nice layered one over the top.
He had some nice little throws over the middle of the field. And he had some good deep shots. Or he did not many deep shots, but intermediate throws down to George Kittle, down to seam, and Debo Samuel. So I thought Brock Purdy played well yesterday. I really do. 26 for 40, 313 yards. He didn't have a running game. Didn't have a running game whatsoever. I mean, and we know the Niners, they want to run the ball. They want to get the running ball. They want to control the line of scrimmage. They didn't do that yesterday. They got punked at the line of scrimmage yesterday.
I find this like we do this exercise and you're not the only one that's
I mean, Miami ran the ball for 166 yards on 30 carries. You got the line of scrimmage controlled by the Dolphins.
So he needs to have perfect running game.
No, we're not.
Offensive line.
No, nobody's saying everything.
Evaluate him. He's got
nobody said
tight
it's perfect.
End having one of the great years, and it's like I'm saying he's got weapons out there. We just need one drive in a throwing situation. Okay, I mean, where you don't need to run the ball. Where you got full.
Who's the better quarterback on the field yesterday?
You got to find a way to win that game.
Who's the better quarterback on the field yesterday?
I thought Tua was.
No, he wasn't. No, you don't. No, there's no chance he was the better. Brock was the better quarterback.
Tua didn't turn it over anytime that they came close to him. He threw it into the ground.
Brock Purdy was the better quarterback.
If you're going to be a game manager, you have to manage the game.
After watching that game yesterday, Brock Purdy was the better quarterback. Now Tua, like outside of four quarterbacks again, outside of Josh Allen, outside of Mahomes, outside of Burrow, outside of Lamar Jackson, most quarterbacks in this league need things to go well for them around them. Offensive line play needs to be stellar, right? Running game needs to be functional. The running game yesterday wasn't even functional. I mean, it's the worst running game I've seen in a couple years for Kyle Shanahan. I mean, it was awful. Patrick Taylor Jr., no juice in the backfield. So you got that going on. But I'm not going to exonerate Purdy for throwing the interception. It's a bad play. And I would have liked to see him come back and rally. But at the same time, thinking to myself, okay, I saw the effort. How did they lose? Well, they lost going out on their shield. So I'm not going to be outraged when the playoffs are already over. They were eliminated for playoff contention before the game. Brock Purdy, honestly, is that a game where you say, I can't roll with Brock Purdy at 2025?
That game looks so much like Jimmy. That's what that game looked like to me. It's like, oh, he made a couple plays, and then when push came to shove, you know, he was up against the wall, and they needed to score a touchdown with a nice drive at the end, and it's like, he can't do it. Like, that, it's pretty...
Let me ask you this:
to make a drive in the fourth quarter, he has failed to do it for multiple months now.
All right, he's failed to do it on this team with this roster. We've seen him do it multiple times before in the biggest moments.
Yeah, Bonte, this year, he has been like very mediocre. Like it's okay to admit it. He's not been a top 10 quarterback. We could talk about what he's done prior seasons and all that. This year, he is not good enough.
But why is that? Why hasn't he been good
enough? I don't think his play has been as good. His
accuracy has not been as good.
Like, there was a great example. Juwan James is wide open on a little curl route, and he just skips it.
He hasn't hit the checkdowns this year at all.
The arm doesn't look right. The confidence isn't there. The decision-making isn't that great. You know, like, it's been, like, he bears some of it. I'm not saying it's all on him, and I'm not saying he's the reason why they're losing. I'm just saying I have a ton of questions on the quarterback. I spent 2 years saying, no, this guy's an answer. He's a top echelon quarterback.
I still think he's the answer.
And I got all that back.
I still think he's the answer.
Yeah, I got major questions on him.
Yeah, I still think he's the answer. Let's go to Duke and San Bruno. Duke, what's happening, man? You're on the roast.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going with Brock Purdy can be better, but I'm signing Brock Purdy. He's my guy, hands down. 49ers need a new field goal kicker. End of subject. We are definitely into Bruce Gossett territory right now. More importantly, it's the before you go into camp, the 49ers need to clean up all this nonsense with not having people signed and people holding out and all this kind of nonsense. That's got to stop. If they're going to have a good year, they got to come in clean, ready to go, disciplined, not like we've seen this last year. And, yeah, there's a lot of injuries, but it's more than just the injuries.
I'm with them. It's a variety of things, and I think – you know, I'm listening to Tony Romo talk go on and on and on about Sorensen. Oh, he's such a great DC. Sorensen's such a great DC. I don't even know. Is he? I don't even have an answer to that question.
Well, I don't think he's a great DC. And it's funny, 5-2 hit me up, Kirk Morrison.
What'd he say?
He just goes, I thought Steve Wilkes was the problem.
Bosa, I watched that whole game and I go, outside of the little thing about, hey, you know, Bosa, his dad, first-round pick, Miami Dolphins, he lives in South Florida. I didn't hear his name once the rest of the game. And I know he's hurt, but it's like, come on, man. Can we make a play?
Yeah, Nick Bosa, that's my biggest issue. Defensively, you need some – you got the ball. He ran for 166 yards. They averaged 5.5 yards a carry.
It was a 22-17 game with 2 minutes to go. I mean, the defense did hold them to 22 points,
five field goals.
Like, it was at one point, it was 22-17. They had the ball. The Niners had the ball with 2 minutes to go. They go into the break, and they have all three timeouts, the ball at the 50. Like, you should win that game.
Are you mad that they didn't win the game?
Yeah, because I want to see them, like, rally. Don't circle the drains. This is another losing season.
Yeah, it is a losing season.
Like, I wanted to see them win.
It is done. No, did they really deserve to win that game, though? I think that was the appropriate outcome of that football game.
It's been a microcosm of the season.
Exactly. I thought it was an appropriate outcome. There was not one point where I thought, boy, they're really controlling this football game. It felt like they were playing uphill the entire night. And then when you miss a field goal, you go down 9. Momentum. Jake Moody's got it. You're probably going to have a new kicker next season. What a failure that is. And I like Jake Moody's leg. I think he'll resurface and be a kicker for a long, long time because teams don't give up on kickers like that with a leg like that. But you got to make the kick. You got to make the kick. That's a chip shot. All right. More coming up here. Brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. BayAreaOilChange.com. A lot going on in the Bay Area. We'll get to it all. 888-957-9570 is the number. How you feeling about that loss yesterday, Roasters? We'll get to that and recap the doobies. All that coming up here at 95.7 The Game.
If you love Philadelphia, there's a high probability that you hate these two. It's the Morning Roast with Vontae Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Love you guys. Most of the time.
All right, Kate. We'll see you January 2nd when the Sixers come to town to take on the Golden State Warriors. Shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Our Warriors future focus in just a second, but the Niners lose to the Dolphins. Warriors do get back on track after 3-game losing streak against Minnesota Saturday night.
God.
You got the NCAA college football playoff. It was all chalky. All the favorites won, but I enjoy it. I love the format. I think it'll be great. Yeah, they'll get beat by Georgia.
Cool setting on a Friday night.
Oh, it was great. South Bend, Indiana. It was awesome.
My boy Chuck Eggert was out there. His daughter goes to Notre Dame, so he flew out there. And I can't wait to hear from him what the atmosphere was like. He's like, dude, the tickets weren't that bad.
Well, I heard they were saying on College Game Day that you can't get in for less than $1,000.
Was it that?
That's what College Game Day kept saying.
Well, he must have got his prior then, so maybe it was cheap.
But he
was saying, because he goes to a lot of Niner games and Warrior games and stuff, and he was like, yeah, the tickets were pretty reasonable. So I was a little surprised there. Maybe he had got them prior. I don't know.
Well, I looked at the Rose Bowl tickets for Ohio State and Oregon.
And?
I'm thinking about going down, but I would rather sit at home and watch all three games.
Yeah.
Because it is the playoff.
What are the prices?
Well, I saw some good seats for like $400.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all. Okay, be honest. Do you guys take Kate out when she comes to town? Or do the wives get mad? No, Kate's so busy, we can barely get on the show.
Yeah.
She's like booked through March.
Yeah.
She's booked through March.
The only person that I would probably take out is Saquon Barkley right now, because Saquon Barkley might be, I know that it's always a quarterback, and I get that. He might be having a better season than what CMC had last year, and I didn't think that was humanly possible.
I know. I'm going to take a shot at little Mikey Williams from the Olympic Club.
Okay.
I'm going to take a shot at Harry Bears and my buddies who are the SF Players Club, the best fantasy league in America. I'm on my way to the championship.
Okay.
And I took Saquon Barkley, number 6 overall. And when I did, I looked at the comment section. It was all a laughing going on.
Oh, wait. You did an online draft with all your boys?
Oh, yeah. We do online.
You guys don't do, like, face-to-face?
Well, it's tough. Everybody lives all over the place. So some people hit the Zoom.
Bro. That's our rule.
Yeah. Well, you know, when guys live all over the country and they travel for work and stuff like that, got to do what you got to do. But a lot of laughs at the Saquon Barkley pick, 6 overall. A lot of laughs.
And now how are they feeling?
They're watching me in the championship.
Oh. Take that, Mikey Williams. Joke.
Take that, Harry Bearson. Well, Harry didn't even make the playoffs. He's never won in this league, so he's like the Buffalo Bills.
He's got to be similar to me. Like, I felt like I was, not that I'm sipping Kool-Aid on Brock, but, like, the guy was playing lights out for such a long time, and I just feel like I'm watching a different player. And, look, you think his confidence is there? I don't. I don't think his confidence is there. I see a guy that's slightly indecisive, and I'm sure, excuse me, as I lose my voice here. I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the protection up front. When you start to feel pressure and see pressure, it's almost impossible to not look down at the rush. So I will bake that in. But the decision making, the accuracy, you know, the scrambling, he used to be able to scramble to his left and still make a play. Teams are on that. I mean, they are on that. And that's a play you heard Romo twice. Throw it away, throw it away, throw it away, throw it away.
Throw it away.
And he's like holding it for way too long and taking unnecessary shots.
Well,
and then there's also the injury element. Like I want to know exactly what is wrong with his shoulder, because if it comes out that the elbow or the shoulder's been barking for weeks on end, I want to know that. When Fred Warner looked so slow,
right,
we didn't know he had a fracture in his ankle. And then he came out and told us, and it's like, all right, well, Fred's out here admirably playing with a fracture in his ankle.
Here's the problem I have with Brock and the way Shanahan looks at his quarterbacks. There's too many times in these big games, whether it's Super Bowl 54, Super Bowl 58. You look yesterday, right before halftime, George Kittle's wide open on the out route. Quick hitter, quick game, boom, hit him. Ball gets tipped at the line of scrimmage. And so these type of quarterbacks, yes, things have to be very good around them, but Brock Purdy gets way too many balls batted at the line of scrimmage. So it's a function of Jimmy. It's a function of this offense. I don't know what it is. Well, height, weight. But when you get that ball tipped on the line of scrimmage, that's a touchdown. You're going in a half leading 14-13.
Sure, great
job. Pardon me. Instead, you're down 13-10.
Yeah.
So when that happens, that makes me think, like, okay, you're not one of the big boys. This is why we all wanted Trey Lance to work out. Not so much because of his color of his skin or because he could run. It was because he was 6'4", 6'5", and he looked like he had a rocket arm and he could see all over the line of scrimmage. It's been a while since we had a quarterback like that. And that's, if there's any beef that I really have with Brock, yes, it's to hold on to the ball too long, but I take that as the guy's trying to do too much, knowing what's out there.
Well,
knowing what's not out there. Brandon Ayuk isn't out there. Chris McCaffrey isn't out there. Trent's not out there. Since you're throwing to Ricky Pearsall. And how can I evaluate Ricky Pearsall? How can I be fair towards Ricky Pearsall after what he's done? Well, I look at before the situation down at Union Square. He was barely on the practice field with multiple shoulder injuries and a hamstring. So you have a first-round pick who I can't even play right now, Shasky.
I know, but to be fair, like, I couldn't, you know, tell you who that wide receiver 83 was on Miami playing in place of Jalen Waddle. He was out here making plays, you know. So, you know, every team is going to have.
I'm not excusing Ricky Pearsall whatsoever. I'm saying that's our first-round pick.
Yeah,
who's not making plays.
He looks so
and
yet small.
A random number 83 is making plays for the Dolphins.
Yeah, and he looked quicker.
Which is unacceptable, which is an indictment on Ricky Pearsall.
Absolutely. Well, and their evaluation, the Pearsall thing to me is a little more complicated. I'm going to give him a pass, fair or not. It sounds like I'm just forget everything you've seen. But it's like, I don't even know.
But he's on the field. But that's a primary target for Ricky Pearsall, for Brock Purdy.
And you could have taken a tackle. You could have taken a safety. You could have taken a corner.
So if Ricky Pearsall's not there yet, and he's not able to function at a high level, play at a high level, doesn't know where to line up, then that's what Brock is working with. And you imagine if that's Patrick Mahomes, and he lines up twice, Patrick Mahomes is cursing him out.
Yeah.
He's cursing him out. Tom Brady is cursing him out, saying, stay off the football field.
There was one moment where Brock Purdy's like, come on, let's go. Hike it.
Right.
Because like, Brendel was terrible yesterday. Brendel has gotten worse every single week. But one thing that Risotto says to me, and Steven is on our board today, one of the new guys here at 95.7 The Game, he's been cutting all the Niner games. And Bonte, the first thing he said to me, and I go, wow, this is old school 95.7 The Game production going on here. Goes, I've cut every Niner game for about 6 or 7 weeks in a row. Every single week, Brock Purdy has said at the podium, I have to execute better. There's certain things that I'm not doing really well at a high level. And now that play at the goal line with George Kittle.
Right.
Again, someone who's more sophisticated when it comes to quarterbacks can explain in detail whether I'm right or wrong. But that's the kind of play I know I want to go to Kittle on the quick hitter. Look off a little. Look off with your eyes a little pre-snap or right as the ball snapped. Like these predictable short yardage plays where they throw over the middle.
Yep.
D linemen know if I can't get to the quarterback, I stop, jump up, or put my hands up in the air. And that's where the height comes into, the staring down a receiver comes into, knowing exactly where on the field they're throwing to. That's Shanahan and Purdy to me.
Yeah, no doubt. Real quick, we'll get back to the Niners. 888-957-9570. Time now for Warriors Future Focus.
let's focus on the Dubs' future. Warriors' Future Focus is presented by Peralta Community College District with Laney, Berkeley City, Merritt, and the College of Alameda.
All right, it's been a rough go as of late for TJD, Trace Jackson Davis, but he picked up his first start since November 30th. And boy, he was solid on Saturday night, man. Went off for 15 points, 9 rebounds. Had a post over Rudy Gobert, 7 of 8 from the floor. And he had a little help from JK.
12 on the shot clock to Kuminga. Kuminga will attack. Bounce pass. Jackson Davis goes up and jammed it. TJD with a dunk. A little elevation sensation for Jackson Davis. And the Warriors are back up by 2.
Love that. Love that. Much needed win for the Golden State Warriors over Minnesota. Minnesota's a mess right now. They are absolute. Julius Randle is unwatchable. Unwatchable.
I feel so validated by that. I hated that trade from the jump.
The trade is awful.
Horrible.
The trade's awful.
And you know what? The other thing is that Anthony Edwards, he did one where he attacked and he jumped in the air and dunked.
Right.
I'm like, Anthony, you have got to attack more.
Well, there's not a lot of spacing for him out there, which is why he's settling for the three-point line, but you did have to make the move for Cat, but everybody's worried about the finances and the CBT. But you trade Carl Anthony Towns, you don't run it back, and then you extend Rudy Gobert, and teams are going at Rudy Gobert. Anyway, that's the T-Wolves' problem.
Sorry, you read
that. No. I was just going to say, the Warriors need that. Steph Curry having a monster throwback fourth quarter game.
He didn't look great to start the game, and I thought that the youngsters, it was nice to see Pods play a little better, TJD to play a little better. I thought Kuminga showed flashes.
Yeah.
I thought it was a huge win.
I thought it was a huge confidence builder, and now they play Indiana tonight. All right, that was the Warriors' future focus, just like we love the future of the Dubs. Peralta Community College District encourages you to love your future, too. Go to peralta.edu and apply today.
Hey, it's Brian from San Ramon. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Shanahan, run the ball.
Shanahan couldn't run the ball yesterday, that's for sure. That's for sure. Couldn't run it. As the last segment was sponsored, what's coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank Celebrity. 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We'll talk more about the Niner game. And by the way, don't miss the kickoff show next Monday with Willard and Dibbs as the Niners get ready for their home finale against the Detroit Lions. That's right. Before the start of the game, join us at the Hilton Santa Clara for delicious food, great drinks, and the best pregame show in the Bay Area presented by Habas Law. You've been wronged. Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit HabasLaw.com. Also, the segment sponsored by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. We're going to get to the Niners, 888-957-9570. There's also a lot of Warriors stuff. A lot of baseball. Rest in peace, Ricky Henderson. We'll get there. No doubt about it. That hit us all by Friday. The news is starting to circulate Friday, but it was made official Saturday. Pamela Henderson, Ricky Henderson's wife, came out with a statement through the A's. And it's sad. It's sad that Ricky, and we talked about it on a pregame show Saturday, just Monty Poole explaining his Oakland roots or whatnot. But we'll get to Ricky Henderson in just a second. But I do want to recap the Doobie Awards on Friday. Because there's been a few shows in my radio history, Shasky, that I felt really good about. It's like, wow, that was amazing. First ever draft show at the Paramount Theater out in Oakland. Fortin Ball or Faden Ball, who took Indiana over Notre Dame. Greg Poplin and myself.
No, yeah, he didn't.
He took Indiana -7. But we did the draft show. And we went like 2 hours straight with no commercials. It was fast. It was a Christian McCaffrey draft. It was a Solomon Thomas draft for the 49ers. It was Shanahan and Lynch's first ever draft. But that show, I remember that was kind of like my coming out party. It was like, wow, all right, now I feel like I belong.
Attaboy, Diana Ross.
There it is. The Hilton Hotel. Week 3, when they beat Pittsburgh, our first ever show for overtime at the Hilton Hotel, when they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in an ugly game. We had the round table with Casey, Kyle Madsen. It was like, wow, we may have something here with this pre- and post-game show. We really may. Now, I think we took over the post-game shows. We destroyed the other station when it came to the ratings, and we became the go-to show for all things after a Niners game. And still to this day, Madsen and company are doing a great job doing it. Sterling Bennett and Mark Grandy.
Yesterday was Loveman.
Yesterday was Lubman?
Yeah, I tapped in on 95.7 The Game.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was. He did a really good job. It was wow. him and Sterling Bennett.
Wow.
Thank you, Shasky.
Yeah. No, wow. I watched.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Well,
didn't
hello there.
Oh, hello there. Yeah, it was the last second thing. But yeah, we had fun with it, Sterling and I.
Wow.
You did a great job.
Wow. Awesome. Thank awesome. You. But then Friday's show. Friday's show was one of those shows that I put on my personal Mount Rushmore of shows at 95.7 The Game. We were taking a chance. We didn't know what the Doobie Awards would present or how the presentation would look at Laughing Monk Brewing, but boy, everything came out, and it exceeded my personal expectations. It was unreal. The callers, the roasters that were live in the building, getting to meet Nick and Saddlesay, Uncle Gene,
Nick is such a
Tony in Oakland, Robinson, Bruno with Robinson, all the kind Bruno. Words he said. He's a best. Class act. Tyler Miller was in the building.
I love
I mean, it was unreal, and we didn't know how we were going to present it. We just kind of did things on the fly. Hey, just come up and talk in front of Mike. You can do the call right here if you want.
Well, I thought that, you know, Sam Lubman put a lot of heart and soul into all of the stuff that you guys maybe don't notice.
The sound.
Like, just everything. And he did such a great job. Like, all of the weeks and weeks and weeks of effort leading up to it, he did such a great job. Our boss, Matt Nahegan, just setting all up the little stuff, the red carpet, the whole promo team and everything that they did. Jesse and that squad.
Spadoni back on the board playing the sound.
TJ, you know, our
Tim
board.
Jordan.
All these people that maybe you don't know, the audience that's out there, they did everything to be able to set it up so that we could enjoy it. I heard from people that weren't there, like my buddy Matt Murphy, shout him out. And he goes, it was one of the greatest days of radio I've ever heard you guys have. I didn't know what was going to come next.
Yeah.
And the call-ins, we had the mayor call in and Bob Myers and Dave Fleming and the audio. And then
Baldy called in.
Baldy. People wanted to know what Tony looked like.
Brianna Detroit called in.
I couldn't believe that.
Brianna Detroit.
And then my favorite was Tony's boyfriend walks up to
Steve.
And he goes, you know, when you see a room full of people chanting your girlfriend's name, it makes you kind of feel a little different.
Yeah.
And I go, wow.
He was unbelievable.
And then I turned to my side, to my right at the time, and I saw you holding your daughter, and I had my little guy. And honest to God, like a tear dropped down from my eyes, and I was just thinking about, like, how lucky we are to do this and how grateful we are for the support that's out there. Because, man, I, like you said, I didn't know what we were going to get. And just to see everybody there and to be able to celebrate with our families, man.
It was one of those days. Special. It was on You're my right. Mount Rushmore of radio shows. And, you know, Lubman, I texted a thread afterwards just kind of letting everything sink in. And I wanted to put the right words together to kind of show my appreciation for everything that went down with the Doobies. Lubman has spent hours and hours on the sound and getting the sound right and cutting the sound down and getting right clips into the sound and how he's going to present the sound and making a montage of the sound. And then you have to keep up. All season long, all year long, you have to keep up with all the calls, all the drops, all the guests. What category is going to go? You know what I'm saying? Like, who's going to win Roaster of the Year? Who's going to have the guest moment of the year? What's the call? We take a million calls a year.
I know.
So Lubman on his spreadsheet is keeping up with this day in and day out, day in and day out, day in and day out. And to see all that stuff come to fruition, to try to nail down. Because there's a lot of stuff we did miss. There's no doubt about it. But we try to get the best of the best. And Lubman helping out with that and spending hours after the show dedicating himself to the Doobie Awards. I thought it was just excellent. By the last hour, I was just sitting back kind of watching everything, thinking, boy, we hyped this up. And you got the Roast of the Year. People were waiting around for that and the roast moment of the year. And it was unbelievable. The trophies, the red carpet, the food, Sam and Laughing Monk Brewing for hosting us.
Sam and Laughing Monk.
I mean, he was awesome on the microphone. He played his role. He played his bit because it was a slander session. That's what their Doobies are.
Yes.
It's make fun of each other, talk crap. And it was awesome. And it turned out better than I ever imagined. It really did. It's going to be tough to top.
You know, and it really is going to be tough to top. Sam Lubman, I think me and him were going to fight each other on like seven different occasions leading up to it, because I'm very, how do I put this? I'm adamant that my way is the right way. And we had some creative tension over the length of certain things and this and the other. And when it was all said and done, it all worked out totally fine. Yeah. But Sam, I just want to say I love you and I apologize for how crazy I was. I think I probably added to your stress, like,
well, yeah,
that, a little that, more that's, than that's usual, what, but what, no, it was, yeah. I appreciate that,
the Shasky
Jack.
Special.
You, for both of you guys, but no, it was a case of iron sharpens iron, you know, Shasky had his thoughts, I had my thoughts, we combined our thoughts together, mm-hmm. they battled it out, and the thoughts combined to a great product, and that's what collaboration is all about. It's not always a clean process, it was a little messy, but... You know, this is how the sausage is made, and it was a great time on Friday as a result. So you know what? It was worth the stress and everything because, you know, the stress that we put in is why the show was such a hit on Friday, I believe.
And hopefully it was a hit for everybody out there. Being in it, it felt like a hit. Hearing from people afterwards, a lot of people had a lot of fun. Ernie Chavez DM'd me right away, said, that's the best 95-70 event I've ever been to. And I was like, wow. Because he's been to a lot of events. Wow. And we've had a lot of great events. For Ernie to say that.
Oscar
Tyler
EPA.
Miller, the Oscar DPA. Well, I mean, it was
Oreo
unbelievable.
Cookie.
Richie Rich Jr. The YouTube chat was up. so that was awesome. But you know, love it. When it comes to creativity, and there's no perfect way of doing these things. This is why I think in radio, try to make things perfect, it's almost better if it's imperfect. And that's kind of my thought process when it comes to radio. When it's an S show and things are going haywire and whatnot, that produces some of the best radio. So I'm glad that it wasn't as buttoned up as maybe Shasky would have wanted it. But I kind of sit back in these situations knowing, okay, this is a sound and I trust your judgment. It's about empowering people and empowering Sam Lubman to come up with this stuff and put together the right sound bites. I think that helps him as a producer. I think it helps this show. So I'm all about empowerment when it comes to shows and giving people creative. Hey, here's your creative leeway. I trust you in this. I wouldn't have you on the show if I didn't trust you in that judgment.
So two new categories that must be introduced for the new year. Dismissal of the year. Number one, gotta have dismissals.
Just added. I'm literally putting together
well,
the stuff
we
for
did
the
have
next
it.
Year.
Yeah, I thought
and
we did
that was
have
the first
it.
First folder I made is for all the dismissals, yeah. So we'll
and
have
then
that.
Biggest lie of the year.
So there's a lot of lying
going
on.
That'll be a fun one.
Worst take
down.
Of the year.
Worst take has to be on there too. I agree with that.
So the award ceremony is just growing and growing and growing. Growing and growing and growing.
Just the greatest hits from the last year. Tony could have won every category.
She could have. Nick in San Jose was there for a lot of categories. Rob and San Bruno had the presentation with the music, the award show music.
When Rob grabbed the microphone and then basically gave like a Suge Knight.
Yeah.
Like a Suge Knight.
He was so.
He like, you want to come to death row? Right. I was right about this and I was right about that.
He basically just took over the mic and looked at the fans and did his own show.
It was
unreal.
He pulled a Steiny and just turned into villain mode. It was great. Honest to God, I loved it.
Coach Buck came through in the last
Coach
hour.
Coach Buck. I got to hit
Buck
him
came
up, by the way.
In the last hour, which is great. So let's go to Adam in the city as he wants to talk a little Niners and Doobies, man. It was a lot of fun Friday, man. I had a blast.
What's up, Adam? Why weren't you there?
I was seeing my girl down in Santa Barbara, so that's where I'm driving back from now. But
I
was tuning in, and it was a great show. I wanted to clarify a couple of things just real quick. Number one, I was never the guy to call in to imitate Willard, so let's just get that off the table. Then number two, I've only called into Willard and Dibs once in 6 months, so I haven't jumped ship, guys. Like, your guys' show is my show. But I just have a question for you for the Niners for next year. How are you going to feel about Shanahan and Lynch in sense of assembling the team if we go into next season with McKivitz and Brendel still starting?
Because
I have a feeling that's going to happen.
Well, let's not. No, I don't know.
Well,
let's wait for it. Let's see if it comes to fruition, Adam.
I'm more lenient on, but Brendel cannot be your starter heading in.
No, I don't think Brendel and McKivitz. I think you have to upgrade the entire offensive line. That's where I'm at.
Well, Pooney's been pretty good.
Pooney at right guard. Yeah. Trent at left tackle, and the other three spots I need to fix.
You think Trent's for sure coming back?
Yeah, why wouldn't he?
I mean, he's older.
Jordan Mason was leading the league in rushing before Trent.